But hey, welcome into another episode of That's the Truth. I'm so glad that you've decided to spend some time with us here today. And I'm excited to present our guest here tonight. And before I do, I just want you to remember why we are even here. We're passionate about learning. We're passionate about growing. And we love having conversations that simply inspire us to continue doing that, getting closer to God, continue growing and learning to be able to be effective and make an impact in every area of our life. And I hope that you are able to get some value out of our conversation here tonight. And I'm excited to present our guest tonight because he is a returning guest. The last time we spoke, I hadn't even realized it was about 2 years ago almost. It was in 22, and he had just released the book, The Church That Caesar Could Not Shut Down. And we were so excited about having that conversation. And if you missed it, you can definitely go back and listen to that through the archive. So today I have with me a phenomenal preacher, phenomenal man of God, someone that I truly, truly admire and look up to, because even at a very young age, God is using him tremendously, and he's becoming such an influence in writings, such an influence as an author, and such an influence in content creating. And we're going to get into all of that and the vision behind all of it. And today I have with me once again, Jordan Fry from Anderson, Indiana. Jordan, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're back with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for letting me come back on and have another conversation with you. And thank you for the kind words, man. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you deserve every part of that. And I just love to see how the hand of God is over your life, your family, and now your son as well. And we're just very excited to be able to have access to you and have a wonderful conversation once again. A lot has changed since you were last on. When we last spoke, it had been a few months that you had released the book, The Church That Caesar Could Not Shut Down. And I love that conversation. I went back myself as a listener, not to critique myself at all, not to listen to anything other than just simply the podcast itself, like the content, the information that you shared. I was just so inspired by that. And it blew me away. And I received a lot of good feedback from that. And then people started asking me, where can I find the book? And I shared it with them. And it was an awesome experience to be able to learn from you and absorb. And I love to posture myself as a student every time that I have the opportunity to speak to someone, especially have them guest on the podcast, and I learn and I absorb everything that I can from them. And obviously share the resources that they're making available to other people to bless their life and help them grow.
Yes, sir. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation last time, and I think we'll have a great one tonight as well. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, since the last time that we spoke in 22, I believe it was October, if I'm not mistaken. At least that's when the last pod aired. Talk to me a little bit of what has changed here in family. I know you had a son months ago, and we were tracking that on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, and we're praying for you, brother, praying for you, your family.
We appreciate that. Health.
And just kind of talk to us a little bit about family life and church, and maybe an update that you would like to share with us.
Sure. Well, man, it has been kind of a wild couple of years for sure since we last talked. My boy's he just did turn 5 months old a couple days ago. So he's doing great. His name's Jameson Parker. We'll get into the story of him being born a little early and all that here in a few minutes. But man, he's a miracle child. He's been so amazing having him in our lives. He's sleeping mostly through the night, so that right there is a miracle in itself. We're thankful for that. Man, Jameson's doing great. The church is doing good. We're still student pastors at First Pentecostal Church in Anderson, and our youth group is doing amazing. We've got a fun event coming up this weekend, the banquet. All the kids are stoked for it. You know, we're just kind of been trying to hold it steady. I think since the last time we spoke, I was elected in as the Section 4 Youth Director for the Indiana District. So that's been kind of a new journey for us, and being involved in some district events. And man, God's been good to us the last couple of years. I have no complaints. God's blessed us.
And that's awesome. And that's just another avenue on how God is using you in with young people as well. And then, like I said, you know, just a tremendous influence there to leading young people. I know last time we talked a little bit about your background with music. And I know that you play in the church group and everything. That's tremendous. And I just love everything that you're a part of. And I honestly, just thinking about the things that you offer and in the way that you let God use you, it actually just, I'm very one track minded. So when I think about it, it stresses me out. It stresses me in the sense that it's like, man, the brother's writing a book. He's assistant pastor at the church, student pastor, working with the young people. And it's something I relate to be quite honest. I understand it completely, but looking at it from the way that just my human mind works, it seems like you're all over the place and you have a very structured agenda. Does it feel that way?
Man, you know, it's hard to get bored when you're invested in the kingdom. There's a lot to do. Yeah. I definitely kind of revolve my day around different blocks. So, you know, I've got this block of time I've got to do, you know, my youth stuff. I got this block of time for Truth Book Co. You don't get bored. We keep moving. Keeps you young.
Yeah. And when I say, just to clarify, when I say it stresses me out, I don't mean that in any negative way at all. I mean that in total admiration, because I understand what it looks like to grind like that. And then just to be, sure, you know, just to have a certain time frame for one thing, and then you have to move on to the next. And it's something to be admired, to be quite honest, and always being on the move, and especially to expand the kingdom the way that you're working. And I love to see that, man. And that's totally admirable. One of the things that really stands out to me, brother, about your life, your ministry, is how creative you go about it. The creativity that goes into the books that you're writing, and the creativity it took to kind of just simply apply what God's given you and apply it to ministry. So one of the things that you also started was Truth Book Company. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that and how that idea originated.
Yeah, so Truth Book Company, we launched last summer, and it's kind of a lot of things have happened to get to where we are today. So maybe I'll start today and kind of backtrack a little bit. Sure. We just launched the full publishing wing of Truth Book Company. So today we kind of have two divisions. At least if you look on Instagram, we have at Truth Book Co. and at Truth Book Co. Kids. So our kids is what originally started last summer, publishing children's books, Bible-based children's literature. And what we have just started is at Truth Book Co., the main platform where we are publishing all sorts of content. We have a book from a pastor that's getting ready to launch here in a couple weeks. Everything's been finalized. We're just waiting for copies to come in and start those promotional campaigns. We're very excited about how that is turning out, that we're finally able to start offering, you know, full-scale publishing services. But all the way back last summer, Truth Book Company was not that many things, right? It all started with a single book, single kids book called Male and Female, Created He Them. Right. And at that time, Truth Book Co. didn't even exist. Not a name, not an idea, nothing. That came a couple months later. So the way the first book started, there was kind of a lot of things going on in our world. We had just found out that we were pregnant early in 2023. And we were coming up on the 1 year anniversary of when we lost our second pregnancy. We went in on June 1st of 2022 and found out that our second pregnancy no longer had a heartbeat. So we were coming up on that year anniversary of that. We had just found out we were pregnant again. So my mind was kind of all over the place, thinking about, okay, you know, about to become a dad, all kinds of things about to change in my life. And over Mother's Day weekend, our pastor preached a powerful, powerful message called The Faith of a Mother, Pastor Luke St. Clair. Wonderful message. I'd encourage your listeners, if they ever get a chance, to go look up that message and listen to it. But he told a story in that message that, man, it worked me over. He told a story. He was, I believe he was out preaching It might have been a youth rally. He was out preaching a youth rally, and a lady had come up to him and began to share with him a story about her son. And this had happened a couple months prior to their conversation. She had been noticing that her son had been waking up in the middle of the night and had been, you know, going out of his room and doing a few things. And, you know, she kind of thought that was odd, but, you know, didn't think much of it. Then one night, she found her son in the laundry room at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was washing and drying his bedding. And, you know, she sat him down and was like, "Buddy, what's going on? You know, why are you at 3 in the morning washing, you know, your bedding?" And come to find out, he had been wetting the bed. I mean, this is a middle schooler, so this is not, you know, this is not normal behavior. And she's like, "Buddy, what, you know, what's going on?" Right. And I guess at that night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, they're having this conversation, and he just broke down in tears. I mean, wow. just completely broke down and began to tell his mom how at the public middle school he'd been attending that there were some boys that had been abusing him in the restrooms throughout the school day, sexually abusing him. And he began to just tell his mom all the things that was going on. And, you know, this was his body's coping mechanism of, you know, just like going into a panic. Right. And my pastor made this statement, and this statement, man, it worked me over. When he finished telling this story, and again, the context of this sermon was, you know, Mother's Day, the faith of a mother. He made this statement. He said, "We either are going to have to choose to protect our children from things in this world. We're going to have to hide our children from things in this world, or our children will hide things from us."
Mm. Yeah.
That's our only two choices. We are going to have to hide our kids from some of the things in this world, or our kids are going to hide things from us. So I've got this going through my head. You know, we're getting ready to have a kid, and you start doing all the things when you're preparing to have a child. So that next day, he preached that on a Sunday. That next day, Monday, we were getting ready to have a Mother's Day dinner with my family. And that where they were going to have dinner was about 2 hours, hour and a half from where we lived. So my wife and I had gone to a little coffee shop right over by the restaurant we were going to meet my parents at, and just kind of hanging out. And well, you mentioned earlier, kind of you get focused on something and you get focused, bro. I get that way, and I get focused, I get zoned in. So I'm sitting at this coffee shop, and bro, you know, this sounds crazy to a lot of people, but when we believe that God moves in the earth and God speaks and God directs, you know, it sounds a little less crazy. But as I was sitting at this coffee shop, I felt the Spirit of the Lord impress upon me to write a kid's book called Male and Female Created He Them.
Man.
And this, and I had been sitting at the coffee shop thinking about that message, thinking about all these things. And it felt kind of random. Looking back on it now, I see how the pieces, you know, kind of connect. Right. But then it felt a little random. So I was like, oh, I don't know the first thing about writing a kid's book. I don't know the first thing about illustrating a kid's book, but I'd been following this AI development of generative images, you know, somewhat loosely. So I had an idea of some of the technology that was out there. So sitting there at the coffee shop, I pulled out my laptop and I started working on a rough manuscript for Male and Female Created He Them. It was started kind of just generally messing with some of this image generation stuff. And I am zoned in, like I am locked in. Yeah. And I remember my wife kind of looking across the table and going, "Hey, what you working on over there?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, don't mind me. I'm writing a kid's book." And she was like, you're what?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm writing a kid's book called Male and Female Created He Them." And she goes, "Okay, cool." And then just went back to what she was working on. Okay. But that was the start of it, man. And it was incredible. It was a very quick work. The first book, it was honestly like God was just downloading stuff for this first book. We had the whole manuscript and artwork generated. I believe it was in under 2 weeks. I think it was close to about a week and a half. I had the manuscript finished, had the artwork generated, and was looking at figuring out how to publishing. So that all came together very, very quickly. So that was the whole deal behind the very first book. And as you know, we can talk about how that kind of started taking off, but I had this realization that there was a lack in the market, you could say, for Bible-based kids books specifically that are pushing against this woke transgenderism, pride agenda that's coming after our kids. And bro, it's incredible because there is no shortage of just godless, insane books that are targeted for children that are pushing, you know, transgenderism, that's pushing homosexuality, that's pushing this pride agenda. Right. I'm talking about picture books for kids. There is no shortage of those. Yeah. But as I started, when we released this book and I really started looking around what was out there, the book struck a chord, not just with apostolics, but with even conservatives, with people who are just tired of this crazy agenda getting pushed down, you know, our throats. And at the time, it was just kind of how it all came together. But I think God's hand was on it, that we were able to release that first book, Male and Female Created He Them, on the 1 year anniversary of when we had lost, you know, our second pregnancy. But also that ended up being, coincidentally enough, the very first day of Pride Month.
Wow. That's tremendous.
So it was just a God-ordained timing that all this was able to come together. And that's where the idea and the nomenclature of Truth Book Company came from. You know, they can have Pride Month. They can have it all they want. We're going to have Truth Month. We're going to go back to what the Word says, and we're going to create literature that specifically teaches our children what the fundamental values that are found in the Word of God.
Exactly.
It's crazy. One of the biggest you know, things that I kept hearing people say after we released this book is this phrase. And it's a funny phrase, saying, it's crazy that we have to have a book like this.
Wow. Yeah.
3 years ago, if you tried to publish a children's book called Male and Female, God Made Them Male and Female, it's like, that's obvious. No, we know that. But we're at a place, man, in our society, in our culture, where the apostolics, those who believe in the Word of God, those who believe that the Word of God is truth, we're going to have to stand up on the Word. We're going to have to stand on the Word and create resources to help families, to help faith-based families and conservative homes teach those fundamental values for our children. And I could ramble on that all night, but I'll shut it down there. But that's how it all started.
Yeah, no, and I love that, bro. And I thought it was very, very essential, very important to have you on talking about this. Because you can't have a podcast called That's the Truth and not have Truth Book Company come and talk
yes,
about
sir.
Specific truth. And it can't be. So I thought it was very fitting. And another thing, my wife and I, we have two boys. We have two boys of our own. And one day she came across a book that was, it seemed like it was a Christian book. It was talking about God, but then later she found out and later filled me in about it. She realized that it was talking about a God, but not the God, if you know what I mean. So then the more that she goes into that, I don't remember the title of it. So she thought it was interesting because she was searching and putting together curriculum for preteens and kids church and things like that. So she's going through this book and she's kind of thumbing through it and it's talking about a God and quickly realizes that it wasn't talking about the God, that this God that this book was referring to. And we're talking about a book that's targeted for kids. So it started talking about this transgender ideology, started kind of masking it, if you would, to the level of a child. And in her Holy Spirit quickly just triggered that and say, no, this is not the right, this is not the truth we're talking about. This is not the truth. So then she brought it to my attention and I was just like blown away by that. And that is just one of many stories, instances or experiences that we've had where culture and then just the world and then just this ideology that's just continually getting pushed into people's faces. And to go along with that, one of the things that has been a theme, just unplanned really, has been a theme on the last several episodes, and actually the ones that we've started this year with a different guest, is discernment and awareness and then just simply being sensitive to the Spirit. And when it comes to parents, you're a parent now. What I kind of want to dive into a little bit was the division of the books and in sharing this truth. Was that already on your heart after knowing that you were going to be a parent? Was this after the birth of your son, or is this just something that you felt it was just regardless if you were going to be a parent or not, Was it just driven by the Spirit?
That's a, you know, that's a great question. So the first book, matter of fact, our first four books were all published before the birth of Jameson. And he was born 2 months early. And the way it kind of worked out is we released the first Rainbow. The second book, I take that back, not all four books. The second book, The First Rainbow, ended up being published the day before he was born.
Okay.
But I would definitely say that it was knowing that we were getting ready to have a child that started the thought process of thinking about kids' books, thinking about all of those things. And it was after releasing that first book, because really I wrote the first book, and it's dedicated to my son, Jameson. I wrote that first book because I wanted to have that resource, you know, for him when he got here. And if I'm going to create that resource, I want to share it with others as well. Yeah. And it was the response to that first book that made me realize, hold on a second, there really is a need for this kind of literature. There really is a need, because we do something I think is kind of unique. There might be others who are doing it, but I've struggled to find them. There are kids books out there that tell biblical stories, right? There is an abundance of kids books that tell Bible stories. What we have tried to do with our kids books is we put the principle, the fundamental value out there at the forefront, and we use the story to teach that value, which is kind of backwards, right? There's a lot of books out there that tell the story of Noah's Ark, and there's some implicit values underneath that story. What we have tried to do is flip that a little bit, and we teach the principle with the story supporting it. So let me give you an example. You can write a book about Adam and Eve and tell the story of them getting kicked out of the garden, but what we did was we wrote a book called Male and Female Created He Them, and we used the story of Adam and Eve, and on every single page we drew from it showing how male and female created he them. So there's, you know, pages in the book says, God made the birds, a he and a she. He made the beasts of the field, the cows, the cattle, a he and a she. So we're using the story to support that fundamental principle. The same thing is we took the same approach with the first rainbow. So you can tell the story of Noah's Ark, right? There's a lot of books that have told the story of Noah's Ark. What we try to do was tell the story of the first rainbow, teaching children what the rainbow actually represents, that it's a promise from God. It's a reminder of his covenant, a reminder of his love. It is not a banner of pride. It is not a banner of lasciviousness. It is a covenant from God. And one of the critiques that we got on that second book, The First Rainbow, we've been able to connect with people from all kinds of different denominations at Truth Book Co. Kids. It's been incredible to watch how the doors open. As a quick aside, just to kind of showcase that point, the same week at General Conference, so the UPCI General Conference, where Male and Female Created He Them, our first book was at the Pentecost Publishing House booth, you know, being sold to Apostolics. That same week, there was also a booth that was set up at the Reform Conference down in Atlanta, Georgia, that was also selling our books through some connections from a man who runs a podcast called Bible Dingers in North Carolina. So cross-organizational, cross-denominational bounds, it's been incredible to watch that. But one of the critiques that we got was that we left out of the story why the flood came.
Okay.
And my response to her was, no, I understand where you're coming from, but we're doing things differently. This book isn't here just to tell you the story of the flood. There's 100 books tell you the story of the flood. Our goal is to push back against this agenda. And there's an agenda attacking the rainbow and trying to redefine what the rainbow means. So what we tried to do was tell the story of the first rainbow. If we're telling the story of the flood, I totally get that. We should go into, you know, the wickedness of man, all that. Mm-hmm. The books are not a replacement for the Bible. You should still read the Bible. You should still teach your kids to love the Bible. Our books are supposed to be a resource to help you teach biblical truths, not necessarily all the biblical stories. Right. You can teach your kids biblical stories and introduce them to the stories through these books, but these books exist to teach the fundamental truths that lie within the story. And the same it's the same exact idea when we wrote In God's Image. The problem, there's an agenda in the world that is pushing transgenderism, that's telling young ladies they can become men, telling young men they can become ladies. And the idea of this book was, we're going to use the biblical corpus to prove the point that you were made in the image of God. You don't need to do all that other stuff. So yeah, that's what we've tried to do with these books, is identify where the culture is pushing against and provide parents with a resource to teach true fundamental values from the Word of God, right, in a way that's engaging and accessible for kids.
Man, that's awesome. And I just love the thought behind it, because it's not just simply to sell another book. It's not just simply to get another one on the shelf for kids or for parents to buy, or for just for the sake of entertainment. It actually is driving truth home. It's bringing, yes, truth into a level that they understand. And that is so essential. Yeah. That is so essential, because there's so many things that are going to grab their attention on the outside. So many things are going to entertain them on the outside, but really engraving what truth is, engraving God's design and just theocratic design into them, is a wonderful idea. And I was just blown away by how you were able to communicate that, first of all, creatively, and in such a way that directly to children in a level that they understand. My wife and I went out and got a couple books, and we gave them out to some families that were visiting at the church here recently.
Thank you so much.
We're serving in a Spanish ministry. And I know that you got Spanish translations also for these books. And I thought that was even tremendous. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Like, it has to get not only in Spanish, but in several more languages. And talk to me a little bit about translating the process behind that. Was that just something you're doing on your own? You're having someone translate them and print them. What's that process like right now?
Sure. So the translations is kind of one of those avenues that it's still very exploratory for us. We're still figuring out that whole process. We did release a Spanish translation, a male and female, created he, them. That process, I think we could probably simplify it to the way that we did it the first time. Yeah. My initial thought was, I will do the same thing that I did with the English manuscript. So when we first wrote the English manuscript, I sent out a PDF preview to several people that we were close with that had kids, to get their feedback on that manuscript before, you know, we sent it to publishing. I think we sent it to 10 or 12 families that had young children, and we got their feedback. And kind of the thought process behind that was, if I send it out to multiple people anywhere that the feedback overlaps across those people, you know, they're probably onto something. So that worked very, very well for the English version. So my thought process was, well, I'll do the same thing with the Spanish translation, and we'll kind of see how that works out. Which I have lost a lot of my Spanish. I used to be a lot more fluent than I am now. I've lost a lot of it. But I have enough of a grasp that I thought I could put together, with the help of some AI technologies, a decent first draft, and then get some feedback on. Man, what I found was, there's a lot of variations in Spanish. There's a lot of different opinions on how things should be. Yeah. So that I kind of had to scrap that whole thing. And I ended up hiring a lady through Fiverr who did a tremendous job. And then I sent that manuscript out to a few people that I trusted that were close to. And there was still some mixed variable feedback on it. But we eventually got to a translation that seemed to be fitting, and we were able to release that. It has not done as well as the English translation. I think a lot of that is probably more on my connections than it has anything else to do with it. But the people who have been able to get their hands on it have expressed a lot of gratitude for it being there. So we're very thankful that project eventually, you know, did come together. We do right now have a French translation in the works.
Wow. Awesome.
I have the manuscript. Right now we are working on some finalizations, and we have some connections with a church in France, in Bordeaux, and they are going to be helping us finalize all of that. But that's the other translation that we currently have in the works. The newest book, He Hears Us, will probably be the next one to get the Spanish translation. Okay. Dylan Jordan is the author of that one. That was the first time we had an outside author that we collaborated on. him and his wife are very heavily involved in Spanish ministry in the district and with their family. So that's probably going to be the next one that gets put into a Spanish translation.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. And after we record, we can definitely connect to where if we can push the book, you know, through our Spanish ministry here in Houston, Texas, and then make it available to whoever whoever it is that that it reaches. Because I think it's phenomenal. And I think whether it kind of crosses that boundary, whether it's a family that is churched or unchurched, not everybody is buying into this ideology that is
right,
that is getting pushed onto us. So to be able to just stand on that truth specifically, and to agree on that, that's tremendous. And I love that, man. It's such a timely resource. It's such a necessary resource. And one of the best advices or conversations that I had regarding this topic was not too long ago. And one thing that I've learned as a parent, through that, person was the fact that they told me that if you do not tell your kids the truth of what is out there, once they find it, or once someone else tells them, or once the world tells them that exists, that idea exists, then they lose credibility in what you have to say. And maybe, and it may not be 100% to every case in every home, but there's a certain level of credibility that is lost when mom and dad don't present the fact that, hey, look, this exists, but this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. And it's not presenting, I don't believe that it's presenting them or exposing them to that option, because it's not an option, rather than simply saying, hey, look, you're going to get to an age where your friends are going to start talking about this. You're going to get to an age where you're going to start noticing these things. And I would much rather have a mature conversation at a level that they can understand, of course, with all of that in the bag as well. So letting them know, it's like, hey, look, this is there, but this is what God says. This is what truth is. And it just makes it so much easier to pull a book off the shelf, that you offer, you know, the first rainbow, our God is one in God's image. He hears us, male and female, created he them, you know, just pulling that off is like, look, breaking it down at their level. And of course, and if they're older than that, they're a little more mature, then you can have that conversation. But just simply the fact that in introducing them to what God says and versus what they're going to see first before they hear it is a game changer, I thought.
Yeah, man, you mentioned parents bring it to them at their level. And that's a very important distinction. And this is something that I've talked about on our social channels, but it might be worth mentioning here too, is that we've been very intentional about designing our books for guided reading. So a kid absolutely can, you know, pick it up, read it themselves, no problem at all. You know, as long as they can read, they can read it to themselves. But we intentionally have left space, what we call space between the pages, for parents to be able to fill in, whether that's the biblical story or the cultural connection for their children's at that level. So we keep the books fairly short, and we just hit the high level points so that when parents are reading to their kids, you know, I can read it differently to a 5-year-old than I can read it, than I'm going to read it to a 10-year-old. Because that 10-year-old, I can fill in more of the story and tell them more of the cultural connection. Man, we are absolutely behind the cultural curve when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I think you can look at that statistically too. If you look up statistics for even just for Americans, what percentage of the youth population identifies as LGBTQ and plus, mine, it keeps adding to it. But if you look at the percentage of the population that identifies with that group, it has increased exponentially over the last 5 to 10 years. And one of the big reasons for that, I believe, is that they are bringing their content to kids where they're at. And when I started realizing that, and we've made several reels, several posts on our social media showing the covers of some of these books, and it's insane what is considered appropriate for kids' books nowadays. Right. But if they are going to bring their agenda to kids, and if we continue just to sit on the back burner and be like, oh, well, they'll hear it in Sunday school, we're right. going to lose it every time. Like you said, when they get to school and they get inundated, if they're in a public school, they get inundated with this culture. I mean, you're fighting a losing battle at that point. I had a meeting 2 weeks ago with a man, I'll try and keep the details as vague as possible, had came up to me. His kid is in public school. It had spotty connection with their youth group. And he came up to me and said, man, we found, some stuff on his phone, some pictures. And he's like, no, I was really worried about it, send it to a girl or whatever. And finds out, no, he's sending it to a boy. And he's like, what do I do? I'm like, well, you got to get them connected to the house of God, and you've got to stand up as a man, the man of your house, and you've got to teach your children what the word says about it. And if you wait to that point, which this is a middle schooler, if you wait till they're in middle school to start pushing against it, you are going to have a really, really hard fight ahead of you. Cause when that culture gets its grips in, man, it is hard to get that released. It's hard to get that mindset released. So I really believe that we've got to train a child in the way he shall go, and we've got to teach them these things now, because we cannot afford to wait until we're playing catch up all the time.
Man, that's one of those things that truly frustrates me. And now as a parent, a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, it's one of those things that's very frustrating, that in the sense that it's literally what you just mentioned. It was a battle. It's a constant battle of being on your toes, for one, being armed with the armor of God and saying, hey, look, I'm not going to allow this into my home. I'm not going to allow this to take over my kid's mind. But it's frustrating in the sense that there are families that you want to minister to. There's families that you want to serve through the church setting. There's families that you want to help. And then there's still families that are out of our reach, that you just see in public, that are very passive with this topic. And of course, you can't cross those lines. You can't cross those boundaries, right? But it's frustrating in the sense that, well, it's very easy to just hand somebody or hand your child a tablet, a laptop, your phone, a device, and just let them scroll away. I think there's nothing wrong with letting them use devices in a controlled setting, of course. That's my take on it. Of course, a very tight controlled setting.
Sure.
But it's just frustrating in the sense that there's a lot of damage being done that is unseen, that the enemy is really, really fighting through and fighting against, even the church, the unchurched. And we just cannot sit back and then not do anything about it, not have a guard up, not ask the right questions, not seek the guidance. And in the fact that you wrote this timely book, and it just opens a door for conversation with your kids. It opens a door
Absolutely.
For conversation with your family, with your spouse, and say, hey, what do we need to do? We don't have any guardrails up right now. What is the first step? And then I think that light bulb went off for a lot of parents whenever they saw your books. Do you feel that way?
Man, the response that we've gotten to the books has been overwhelmingly positive. We've had so many people reach out saying that these resources are so badly needed. Yeah. Now, of course, we're in an interesting spot. Particularly on social media, there are a lot of people who do not believe the way that we believe, and believe that the Bible is a document full of hate and is teaching children to be bigots and hateful. One of the comments that was left on the first book on Amazon was a 1-star review, and they probably would have given it zero if zero was an option. But one of the comments, the reviews that was left on Amazon was, this is a bigoted, hateful book that teaches kids to be teaches kids to hate and to be bullies. And my response to that is very simply, we keep our books very closely tied to the scripture. And I do that very intentionally, because if you've got a problem with the book, it's telling me that you've actually got a problem with scripture, because our book is very, very closely tied with scripture. Yeah. So that kind of feedback, it doesn't really affect affect us. But absolutely, there has been pushback online. There has been nasty comments, nasty messages. All of that, I take it for granted that's going to be there because we are pushing against something. But overwhelmingly, what we the response that we have gotten from real live people is thank you for creating these resources, and please keep creating these resources because we need something to teach our kids the fundamental truth.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I think the comments are going to be there whenever you're pushing the truth and whenever you're standing on the word of God. I mean, Jesus himself said it would happen.
You shall be hated for my name's sake.
And it's going to happen. And the fact that you're still standing strong and the way your tone of voice, it's just so encouraged. I feel like this vibe that you're very encouraged, very supported by your community. Your church as well. And I love to see that, bro, because I know that whenever you put out resources like this and you put out content that actually builds people up, that actually stands on the truth, the enemy is going to fight back some way or another. What are a couple ways that you have found encouragement in this time, whether it's through the comments, negative comments, in facing the pushback, basically, and at the same time, finding encouragement through the time that you've been releasing these books? There was difficulty with the birth of your son. And sure. I know as a father that it was not easy. And I know that God has his hand over you and your family. But would you be able to share a little bit about where you found your strength from? Obviously, I know it's God, but as a human, you know, we still feel, still live. And to the extent that you're comfortable with, where did you find encouragement and still the drive to continue with this project at the same time facing what you were facing?
Yeah, you know, I try not to over-spiritualize things just for the sake of over-spiritualizing them. Right. But again, looking back on things, you can see how timelines start to line up. When we were getting ready to release the second book, The First Rainbow. Now, The First Rainbow was the first publication that we were making as Truth Book Company. So we launched the first book on my personal social media account in June. In July, we got all of our paperwork in order to create Truth Book Company, got the social media accounts launched, I believe it was July 17th. So by September, the goal was to launch The First Rainbow the very first week of September. Now, my wife's due date was November 8th. So we've got all the time in the world, right? So Friday, September 2nd is when we had planned to launch The First Rainbow, and we were building up. We had been posting things about it online. There was starting to get some excitement around it. We were, geared up, ready to go. On Thursday, I believe it was that Thursday, we got a call from the hospital. My wife had gone in that morning for just a routine, normal checkup with the pregnancy, make sure everything was good. So that Thursday afternoon, we got that call from the hospital, and I was actually, I'm in my garage. Well, it used to be the garage now. Last summer in September, we were very much in the early phases of working on it. It was still very much garagey. Now it actually is temperature controlled. So that's nice sitting here tonight. But I was just out here working on some stuff in the garage, getting ready for the conversion. And my wife came out of the main door of the house just bawling. And remember from earlier in the conversation, the context of this is we've lost two pregnancies at this point. So my wife comes in bawling, says, and I'm like, what is going on? She says, the hospital called. They got test results back from that morning visit. And she said, they want us to come in now and they want us to pack bags and plan to stay there. I was like, well, that's not good. But I was like, it's going to be all right. So you go back in, pack the bags, and I'm going to get everything put out here. I had tools all over the place. So We get all that put in. Our pastor was actually, which we live very close to the church, was over at the church. So we stopped by there on the way and, you know, they prayed with us. And we get to the hospital. And by the time we got to the first hospital, they ran some additional tests. And that morning, Thursday morning, my wife's blood pressure was fine. By the time we got to this hospital Thursday evening, her blood pressure, if I remember correctly, it was 210 over, I want to say like 160. I know the 210 number. If you aren't familiar with those numbers of blood pressure, she was very close to strokes and seizures. Wow. Like that was what was coming down the pipeline next. Like very, very serious situation. So they immediately put her on some very heavy medication. They put her on, why am I blanking on the name of that medication? It'll come to me while. It'll come to me here in a second. They put her on this medication to essentially slow the blood down in her brain to prevent her from having a stroke or a seizure. Okay. So this was what we learned later, they classified as HELLP syndrome. It's basically severe preeclampsia. So they transfer us from that hospital. They take her in an ambulance to a women's specialty hospital, northwest side of Indianapolis, and they get her stable. So we spend the night in the hospital. They're checking her, you know, every 20, 30 minutes. And then Friday morning, an army of doctors come in and specialists. The whole room was full of doctors and specialists. And they tell my wife, they said, we believe it's in the best interest for you and for the baby to go ahead and have an emergency C-section. Now, at this point, he is 30 weeks old. So this is very early, you know, yeah, to have a child. So, you know, my wife broke down and, they had to give her some shots to get, everything ready for that C-section. They planned it for Saturday. So that Friday we're in the hospital about to have an emergency baby. Like, you know, yeah, my whole world is spinning.
Yeah.
Today's the day we're supposed to be launching this book.
Oh my.
And there was just like this question in my mind of like, you know, are we doing this thing or are we not doing this thing? So, you know, I think to some, it might sound insensitive. It might sound kind of crazy to say this. But, you know, my wife very much supports the vision behind Truth Book Company, very much supports what we're doing. And so my mother actually came to the hospital on that Friday and sat with my wife. They got her stable. She sat with my wife for a couple hours and I drove 40 minutes back to the house in Anderson and got a few things together and shot a quick video, did a couple things, and on my way driving back to the hospital, posted the launch of the new book, got all that moving, and then went back to the hospital. It was kind of one of those deals where it's like, we're, you know, devil, you can throw whatever you want to throw at us. We're not shutting up. we're not shutting it down. Man, it was a wild, wild few days going from that Thursday morning thinking we've got two more months until the birth of our child to within 24 hours being told, nope, he's coming, you know, in a day. And you're looking at, a very long NICU process. So that Friday night, man, I had kind of gotten, my wife had, gone to sleep in the bed and, she was doing okay. So I went into the bathroom and I laid on the floor, of that bathroom to prop my back up against the wall. And bro, I broke down.
Yeah.
Cause people who are close to us know this backstory, but my wife's mother passed away from a brain aneurysm when my wife was born. My wife was born, at 28 weeks. So she was very, very early. And looking back on it now, we got a talk to our doctor more that next week. The doctor believes that, what caused my wife's mother to pass away was exactly what my wife was going through. And she believes that was the very next step was, a stroke that probably could have taken her life, had she not caught, the symptoms that she caught at that time. And man, I'm so, so thankful for that doctor that she was paying attention, that, she told us on that call on Monday, she said, I just had this gut feeling to run some extra tests. Wow. And I was like, well, that wasn't your gut. That was the Lord. But yeah. I'm thankful for that. But I was sitting there in that bathroom floor and it just kept playing over my mind the question of, am I going to have the same story as my wife's father? Because my wife's father went into the hospital with his wife and left that hospital 2 months later with a preemie baby who had been in the NICU without his wife. And so I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, this story sounds exactly the same. She has the same symptoms. We're about to have a preemie at the same time. Like, am I about to walk out of this hospital without my wife? And I was sitting there telling God, like, hey, I don't want to spend 2 months in the hospital in the NICU. I don't want to lose my wife. Like, this can't happen. God, what is going on? And bro, I mean, as clear as day, when I'm sitting here telling God all of what I think, he just asked me a very simple question. I felt it so simply and clearly in my spirit, like a gentle, reassuring father would ask a son,
yeah,
do you trust me?
Yeah.
And I, sitting on that floor, I said, yeah, God, I trust you. And bro, the only thing I can describe in that moment is what Paul describes as the peace that passes understanding.
Right.
I didn't know what was about to happen. I had no idea what NICU life looked like. I had no idea whether or not my wife was really going to pull through this emergency C-section, but there was a peace in that room. You know what, God, we trust you, and it's going to be okay because you are good, and I trust your character that you are good. And bro, I've got to give God thanks because he kept his hand on my wife. He kept his hand on Jameson. That next day, they had the emergency C-section. I can't speak highly enough of that staff at Ascension St. Vincent Women's Hospital in Indianapolis. In and out, 20 minutes, got the procedure done. Jameson was born 10 weeks early, but he was healthy. There was nothing wrong. And he spent 62 days in the NICU, and we went and visited him every single day for that whole process. And when he came out of that NICU, they had scheduled just a bevy of different appointments and things. So there are so many things that they worry about with babies who are that preemie, of things that might be underdeveloped with their eyes. So we went and saw specialists for weeks after we got home. And every report from every specialist we went to was, we see nothing to worry about from him being premature. It has caused no lasting effects, no effects in his eyes, no effects in his lungs. And he's just a perfectly healthy boy. He's had some little reflux things, but man, I give God all the praise and all the thanks because he absolutely worked a miracle for us. And I'm so very thankful.
Man, that is awesome. And that's a tremendous story. And I admire your courage, your bravery, your toughness, man, to be able to just simply talk about it and to be able to share the story like that and take us through that. I truly appreciate it and admire that.
Yes, sir.
It takes a lot of guts to kind of take this back there and give us a side of that. And there's something that I truly relate to in a very similar way. With our second born, we had a very similar experience. It was just, it seemed like it was going to be a life and death situation. Mm. And it's just at the moment of birth, both of their heart rates would just nosedive. And one thing led to another. That's not the point right now, but just to say that I can relate to that, you know, heart rates would nosedive, and then it became critical. It became an emergency, and then they were able to, to save them both, and then they were doing just fine now.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
And I say that in relation to your story, just because as a father, I could possibly imagine, the stress and the pressure that you were going through in that moment, and to feel God's presence and to feel God's a hand over that moment in peace. I admire you for that. I know that God was definitely with you. And that's a testament to the naysayers, of course, that
yes, God sir.
Still does miracles, and God moves in tremendous ways.
Yes, sir, man. He's faithful. He's a faithful God.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I can't just leave it there, man, your family's doing great. Of course, we've been following each other through social media. We've been kind of just checking up on you ever since I heard about, the birth of your son and the struggles through that, and sincerely say that we've been, praying for you, your family, And then to see that things are a lot better now than where they started then, it brought us a lot of joy. It truly did.
Good.
It brought us a lot of
joy. Man, we sure appreciate your prayers.
Yeah, not a problem. And one of the things that I want everybody to know or to walk away from here today is, where can they find your resources? We're going to link to all of that in the description. Yeah. A website, the translations to Spanish. That's something that we would like to share with the Spanish community as well. But where can they find the easiest, all of the resources that you have available?
Sure. So you can find links to purchase our books at www.truthbook.co. So Truthbook Company, www.truthbook.co. And on Instagram, we have two accounts. For the kids book specifically, it's at Truthbook Co. Kids, at Truthbook Co. KIDS, at Truthbook Co. Kids. And the account we just launched at the beginning of this year that will be releasing and publishing more of our adult focused literature and resources and curriculum is at Truthbook Co. So the page that was created and people followed all last year was renamed at the beginning of this year to Truthbook Co. Kids, and we are getting ready to start launching new material over at Truthbook Co.
Is there something that you would like to give a preview to, or when they can expect the next release of the next book?
Sure. So we do have a new children's book in the works. Funnily enough, the way this conversation has gone, it is going to be focused around the miracle working power of God. So that's a very fitting transition there. We are also looking at expanding the He Hears Us book into a 4-part series. We're hoping to release that closer around the summer. The next scheduled release, it's depending on when the shipment of books come in. It's looking around February 18th or possibly the 21st is from Truth Book Co. It's not a kid's book. It is, I won't release all the information quite yet, but it is a pastor who has put together a very, very powerful prayer guide. And this book is teaching people how to pray over the whole body. And it works, starts from the top, works all the way to the bottom. And it is a phenomenal resource, a phenomenal prayer resource to help people enrich their prayer time, to help people have a more structured prayer time. That book will be launching here in just a couple of weeks, mid-February. We are very, very excited about that launch. You'll be able to see all the promotional material for that on Instagram at Truthbook Co. and also on our Facebook page at Truthbook Co. or you can just search for Truthbook Company.
That's awesome, man. We're excited for it, and we're going to be looking out for it and sharing it. Also, we're going to link to it in the description. Wherever people listen to the podcast, just drop down the arrow, look at the description, and you can follow the link there. And this is just simply to support the work you're doing. I love the titles. I love the artwork. I love just the entire message behind it. It's wonderful, and it's very much needed, and it's very timely, like we have been talking about. And it just, as a fun fact before I let you go, bro, I thought it was very interesting. And I saw it as a God nudge. You mentioned right now we don't over spiritualize, you know, things. But I thought it was kind of cool. I think the same way as well. You know, sometimes it's practical and spiritual, and then sometimes it is what it is. But this morning I'm dropping off my kids at school. Coming back home, I see this large rainbow. I see this large rainbow driving in front of me, and I just remembered the first rainbow. I was like, "Oh, I got an interview with Jordan tonight." So I was I was already thinking of that, but I just kind of took it like a stamp to today, and that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
About that.
Yes, sir. That is incredible.
Man, well, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight to share the passion and the vision you have for sharing truth. And like we've been talking about, is very needed, very essential. And it opens a door to be able to instruct and guide our children in the correct path based on truth, standing on truth. And I'm very blessed to be able to have access to you. And bro, anytime that you have resources coming out, reach out, and we'd love to have you back on. I have a feeling that you're going to be a frequent flyer here with us on That's the Truth.
Yes, sir. Man, thank you so much for the open invitation. I always enjoy our conversations, and tonight has been no different. I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of our conversation today. In the description below, you will find links where you can connect with our guest today. If you enjoyed today's podcast, you can go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss out on anything. Also, if you would like to contribute in helping us reach others, I invite you to do so simply by leaving a good rating, leave a review, or even share it on your social media, and that would mean so much to me. In the meantime, I'd love to hear from you. In the description below, you will also find links where we can connect. You can let me know how this was helpful to you. You can visit my blog page where you can find more helpful content like this at inspired2inspire.org. Inspired2inspire.org. For now, continue moving forward in the direction God is leading you. You can continue moving closer in becoming what God has called you to be so you can be impactful in every area of your life. God bless, and we'll see you on the next one.